Hey, hey, welcome back to another edition of Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job? I am your host, L. Ariel, and we can be found, as always, on all the streaming platforms, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Android, and more. And we're also at musicjobspodcast.com. That's musicjobs with an S, podcast.com. Some good, fun news this week. We actually got named as one of the top career podcasts of 2018. Woo! Thanks to Mac Pritchard and his website, topcareerpodcast.com. You can go there and check out all the amazing career podcasts that made it to the list. But yeah, we made the list. That's right. We cool. All right. Okay, enough of that. Last episode, I had the immense, immense pleasure of interviewing Tribeca and Grand Agent of the rap group Tribeca Grand, and they just gave such an amazing interview all about their career paths and making it in hip-hop and rap, and they just dropped an album this week actually called Sport of the Gods. So go to sportofthegods.net and make sure that you snatch up a copy for yourself. Support their amazing art. Let's get to the episode this week. I interview the one and only Vicky Wang. She is the LA director of So Far Sounds. She's going to talk about her career trajectory from Dallas to Chicago to Los Angeles and all about her passion for So Far Sounds. What is So Far Sounds, you may ask? It is a very cool, I'd say very innovative performance platform for artists and a very intimate, cool experience for music fans. She's going to tell us all about it next. But first, let's hear one of Vicky's favorite songs, Ultralight Beam by Kanye West.
I'm trying to keep my faith.
We on an ultralight beam. We on an ultralight beam. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is everything. This is everything. Deliver us serenity. Deliver us peace. Deliver us love, and we know we need it. You know we need it. You know we need it.
Hey, Vicky, thank you so much for joining me on Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job? I'm really happy you're here.
So good to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, so let's go way back to good old childhood, and maybe you could talk to me. This is one of the first questions I always ask my guests is, tell me about the household you grew up in. Like, what do you first remember about music? Were your parents big music lovers? Like, what was that like?
This might be a totally different answer from what you usually get. So I am Asian American. My parents are very, very conservative and Asian. I'm first generation here in the States. So I actually didn't really grow up around music. It was nothing my parents really, you know, pushed at a young age. One of the earliest memories I have of music being played and, you know, a very influential band was the Beach Boys on, like, these really old speaker systems in my house that my parents had, because they didn't really have, you know, an interest in music and an influence in it at all with our, you know, our ancestry and everything that entails. So this might not be your normal answer that you get, but I was not, like, at a young age, I was never really influenced by music growing up.
Interesting. Now, did you grow up in California? Where'd you grow up?
So I'm actually from Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
I moved to California or LA now just about 4 months, no, 6 months ago. So I'm recently here. I can't believe I just, like, actually hit my 6 months. But I grew up in Dallas my entire life, went to school in Fort Worth, just about 45 minutes away from where I'm from. And then right after college, I decided that I needed to get the hell out of Texas or else I would never. So I went to Chicago and got a job up there and spent about 3.5 years there. And then recently just moved over to LA.
I was curious because, you know, the whole Beach Boys thing, like the kind of SoCal surfer movement, if that was like some of the things that, like, the sort of the real American SoCal style, did that kind of connect with you when you were listening to the Beach Boys growing up? What do you think?
I think my parents just thought it was, like, the most American thing that they were able to find. And they're just like, oh, like, this is super American. Let me, like, introduce my children to this. And I know my dad's a big fan of the Beach Boys, but I have really no idea why that was the album that he decided to play.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, my one distinct memory as a child.
That's so cute. I love it. So when you were growing up in Dallas, like, what was your, where did you gravitate towards in terms of music?
What age range are we defining here?
I feel like high school, you know, like, yeah, okay. like jumping in, like, oh, like tween to high school, like that kind of thing. Like who were you totally crushing on?
We're going to high school. I was totally a 90s kid. So, you know, mm-hmm. boy bands, girl bands. Boy bands and girl bands, those were my absolute favorite, as any other teenager in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
My very first concert was, kind of embarrassing, but Jesse McCartney.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, yeah.
Totally. That's nothing to be ashamed of.
Was like in seventh grade.
Yeah.
I don't think he does anything now, but that was my very first concert.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a huge fan of Britney growing up. I remember in the car always listening to, in Texas it was AM 620. It was like the Radio Disney Channel where those were all of the bands that were being played at the time and the only thing I was allowed to listen to.
Interesting.
Probably still in high school.
Yeah. And then did you yourself have any interest in, you know, learning music or taking music classes or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, I grew up playing piano. Asian parents always made you play instruments.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I didn't ever play was a string instrument. Never played violin, but I did grow up playing piano until, I think until like eighth grade or so. But then throughout from middle school to high school, I was in choir for like 7 years of my life.
Wow.
So music had always been a big part of my life when I was in my teen years.
Yeah, sounds like it. Absolutely. Did you ever think of pursuing it yourself, or were you ever sort of like, were your parents wanting you to go to music school or anything like that?
I think I just did it, you know, as a hobby or something I loved. All my friends were doing choir with me at the time. I made a really good group of friends, like just in that community itself, but nothing that my parents ever pushed on me. It was kind of more just kind of like, do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they always pushed piano on me, but I quit sooner than they would have liked me to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I unfortunately wasn't able to escape. I like took piano all through high school and somewhat into college until I was like, there's no way I can be a, you know, classical piano major.
Yeah,
like,
pianist.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way. So I was like,
now I wish I still had any talent on the piano. I mean, working with artists every single day. For me, everyone always asks if I have any musical talents. I'm like, I have none. I only work with talented people every day.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure if push came to shove, you could probably like play something on the piano or sing something. Yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's sort of like riding a bike a little bit, don't you think?
I can definitely still play chopsticks.
Good.
On the piano and like a few like really random classic ones, and still can weirdly read sheet music.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't tried in a very long time, but I feel like that's just something after 7 years, it's just kind of ingrained in me.
Yeah. Yeah. Which again, it's a lot of people can't do that. So give yourself credit,
yeah.
You know? So yeah, let's walk through kind of the beginnings of your career, because again, it's different and it's cool. And just to kind of hear that trajectory. So when you were going off to college, like what was your, did you have kind of an idea of where you wanted to be after graduation, or were you just kind of like very open? Like, tell us about that.
Yeah, so my career path into music is probably a little bit different than most people, but I just didn't have a music background at all before I joined So Far. So
mm-hmm.
my path has been, in college, I was a PR and advertising major.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed in that world all through college, found internships in that industry, and then I actually moved up to Chicago for an internship at a PR company,
mm-hmm.
ended up not working out there, didn't really like the company I was working for at the time, and then hopped over to another internship, was like my number one top company I wanted to work for. Spent about a year there or so, and then at the time they were just unable to hire me for, you know, all these different industry reasons. And I was in Chicago for like a year and a half at that point. And I was like, okay, I need to figure out what I want to do with my life. I need a full-time job. If I don't have a full-time job, then I'm going to have to move back to Dallas or just kind of like figure out next steps. There's no way I can support myself here like this. Mm-hmm. So I was able to take a full-time job right after that at a shopper marketing agency. I was there for a year. I was basically working 9 to 5, kind of really turnkey work for me. It was really easy to grasp, and kind of once I grasped it, what it was, I kind of felt like I was riding steady for a couple of months. And through that time, since I was only working a 9 to 5, I was able to really find other areas that I was passionate about and spend my time elsewhere instead of, you know, at the office every single day. So through that, actually, I found SoFar. So I found SoFar, and then I also found tutoring and, like, babysitting children, which I absolutely love. But it just allowed me at that job to, you know, find these other passions that I was never really able to explore, maybe in high school, kind of really grow into my own post-college. Yeah.
I was wondering if you could just talk to our listeners a little bit about, because I think, you know, especially like the more artists I talk to and the more people in the industry I talk to, it's like they really need to know about marketing, about PR, about advertising, because you do kind of in this landscape, you kind of have to be more DIY. So can you just talk a little bit about, you know, each aspect, like the PR, advertising, and marketing, and just, you know, sort of give like a little mini crash course on those aspects and how you were working in those areas?
So I think both of the internships I was at, I really touched a lot of different projects, and I was pulled in multiple different directions. Being an intern, I worked on everything. But that also, you know, was a huge advantage for me. It definitely brought in my skill set. For me, I was, as an intern, so I was very much trusted to be client-facing. So there, you know, that allowed me the opportunities to really flesh out, you know, social media strategies, content. That was kind of what my expertise was. And so for specific clients, I worked on anything ranging from Disney to like 3M to more CPG brands such as Unilever, also like Slim Jim, a wide variety of different clients that my company had on their portfolio, allowed me to expand across a lot of different industries in particular. But then also for me, I also had a really strong data analysis background too. So as an intern, I was really trusted with pulling together monthly reports, weekly reports, digital monthly and weekly social reports for a specific client. So that was also a lot of my time to on a day-to-day.
Wow. Now, do you feel like, you know, with this knowledge that you have about, you know, social media strategy, and obviously these are like huge, huge clients, but do you have any sort of like takeaways about, you know, having a social media strategy for artists?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I also manage all of our marketing and social media here for SoFar LA specifically. So if you look at our Instagram, I think we have about 13.5 or 6,000 followers. I think for us, particularly with the SoFar brand, you know, you make sure that you have your own language, you have your own image, and you really stay true to that. I think always just like promoting yourself and making sure you're doing whatever you can to get the word out there, especially on the platforms that are still relevant in today's age, and always just keeping up with the social media trends so you're not falling behind, as all the algorithms are constantly changing, as you know, now with all this, with Facebook in the spotlight right now and how that's really changing, particularly like certain social media tracking platforms. You know, maybe something that an artist is using for the current time might be completely revamped, such as Hootsuite or Later, I think is the other one I use right now. But I think just being aware, I think just in general about all the changes in the world, all the changes in social media that constantly are going on, because nothing ever happens to stay the same for more than like 2 or 3 years before, you know, a new platform pops up, and either it's maybe they're targeting an entirely new, different generation, the millennial or the millennial generation, is always the next best thing with Snapchat doing different things. I don't even know the app that people use anymore, but I feel like there's always something new. And depending, I guess, on your target audience and who you're really trying to market to, making sure that that stays relevant.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it is sort of hard to keep up because it's like it seems like a new platform is coming up like every other day. You're just like, Well, maybe you can tell our listeners just about so far and how, I know you said you basically did you start with them 6 months ago or no?
I've been with so far for a little over a year and a half now. I started in August.
Cool.
So
nice.
April, May, June, July. Wait, it's April?
Yeah.
I'm almost hitting my 2 year.
Cool. That's awesome. So yeah, tell us about so far, what it's all about. And
So I can kind of give you like the entire backstory about how so far was founded, you know, kind of our pillars, how we work as a company. So far was started in 2009 when two of our founders, Rocky and Rafe, they went to a Friendly Fires concert and they were just really upset with how live music was being consumed at the time. So everyone was drinking, everyone was talking, or, you know, the bar was clinking and no one was paying attention to the artists that were performing right in front of their faces. So they were just like, okay, let's get some friends, let's invite one of our, like, three of our musician friends, and let's have a small, tiny, intimate concert in our flat in London. So this entire idea of bringing intimate shows, bringing magic back to live music, started there. So, you know, at our shows, we have three very easy ground rules. Sorry, we don't say ground rules, we say guidelines. The three guidelines is that we ask everyone to respect the artists that are performing, you know, to give them their undivided attention, to not talk when the artists are performing. You know, we encourage people to take videos and post them on Instagram, but to please wait until after the artists are done to post anything. Mm-hmm. The second one is to really support the artists. So at all the shows, we'll provide the audience with the artists' social media handles. And then they also have merch there too. Or sometimes they have merch, sometimes they don't. But, you know, to go support the artists that way. And then also if they have upcoming shows, you know, to go buy tickets to their shows and go show them that you love them. And then also, you know, just talk to them, because that's really rare these days. You know, even going to a music venue, you're going to have to buy a meet and greet pass to just talk to an artist, even though it's at a, like, small venue or something. So we're really breaking that barrier between the artist and the audience. And the third one is just to stay for the entire show. So every single night, there's always going to be three very diverse artists. So we curate every single night so the audience can see three diverse genres. Maybe an audience member has never been exposed to a certain genre before, but maybe at the show they'll fall in love with something that they've never seen before and never would have thought to, like, seek out on their own. I think one good example for me is always spoken word. So every time after a show, or we have a spoken word poet, everyone is always just raving about how amazing that was. So maybe, you know, a lot of people really don't go to open mics or slam poet nights, but once they see how powerful an artist is, like, on the so far stage, they will start going to those shows and they will start supporting these artists that they see. So from that perspective, hoping that our audience will find a new genre that they fall in love with, or just a new band. And then from the artist's perspective, you know, introducing these artists to a group of individuals that have potentially never heard of them before, or maybe have heard of them in passing, and really allowing the audience to be exposed to an entirely new audience, and also a promotion-packed room where they do not have to do any promo on their side, where so far is guaranteeing them a packed room of, you know, 50 to 150 people.
That's great.
Right too. And then also all of our shows are very stripped down, acoustic. We really want their performance to be a completely different setup and a completely different vibe than, you know, if they're playing a show at the Roxy or if they're playing a show at a big theater. For me, it's always great to see the artist firsthand and then listen to their Spotify and be like, wow, I'll never see them in that setting again, and they do not sound anything like their Spotify. Like, I saw them in this unique experience, in this unique environment that maybe no one else will ever see them like this again.
That's so cool. And then how did you get the position at so far?
I would like to say a little bit of luck. So I was at my job, my previous job, working a 9-to-5, and then at the time in Chicago, my coworker, we were scaling shows. So we were doing about 5 to 10 to 15. And as a one-person team, my coworker Matt just, you know, couldn't take on everything from finding the artists to managing our ambassador team to sourcing our venues, every little thing that goes into putting on these events. So he just needed a second helping hand. So I applied, thinking it was a shot in the dark. I was on the team for only about 3 months at the time as a volunteer. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention is that our entire community is full of volunteers. So we have, I think it's over 10,000 ambassadors around the world that volunteer their time to help put on so far in their city. That's the only way that we're able to run as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time I was on the ambassador team in Chicago. And I was like, no one really knows me. Matt doesn't even know me, but like, I'm just gonna put my hat in there and like, there's nothing to lose. And I did it, and I interviewed, and I was able to interview with my boss. And 2-3 days later, I got the job.
Wow, so that's fantastic.
Just a little bit of luck. And then I've been with them for about almost 2 years. At my year point, I was called to get the opportunity to move to LA. So I've been traveling around with SoFar for a little bit now.
That's so great. So this was kind of your passion then, right? You said you were you were doing a 9-to-5 and that was giving you a little bit of space and energy to figure out what you really wanted to do. And now it sounds like you're doing what you love, which is so fantastic.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I think the main thing that draws me to SoFar on a day-to-day also is just like the community and the people that we attract. I think SoFar really attracts not a specific type of person, but, you know, like-minded people. You know, our audience is in the room to appreciate music, to come see live music, because they want to see music being consumed in a different capacity than it is at a venue. We're breaking down those barriers, as I said earlier, between the artists and the audience. You know, we're taking away all the distractions, we're taking away the phones, you know, the mess that we're constantly being involved with on a day-to-day basis. And there, you know, you're able to meet individuals that maybe you didn't buy a ticket with, or who share the same interests as you, to see live music in this different type of setting. And there's a ton of different SoFar stories that come from all around the world. So we're in 406 cities around the world right now, and we have a big amount of, you know, engagement stories, artists, alumni stories where they started out with us and now they've recently played Coachella or music festivals, you know, and then all of these great community stories that come out of SoFar shows, just because there's so many like-minded people in the room. And then also our ambassador teams, every single team that puts on the show in these specific areas. For me, that's where I found my family and my group of friends, specifically in Chicago. That team there I think there's like 70 of them. I know a lot of them personally, and I'm very sad to leave them, but they are all basically family. And I feel like SoFar is just one big happy family. You're joining, once you are, you know, attending a show, you've joined the international music family community. And
I was just going to ask real quick, in terms of SoFar, basically though, it's like, it's at different locations. It's different venues. It's different. Like, that's their whole thing. It's almost like the venue is arbitrary. I mean, it's obviously going to be it's the experience, basically, is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Sorry. I totally missed the part that is the most important. Yeah. So, all of our shows, they never take place at a music venue. They are always in unique locations around the city. So, we host in a variety of different locations. So, from people's apartments to where we're founded, which is my absolute favorite, to, you know, coffee shops, to galleries, to commercial spaces, to rooftops. In Oslo, we did, a ski slope. We've done boats. We've done, you know, so many different locations all around the world that are very unique, somewhere that you never would have think you would see a concert. We can turn any space into a place for music. And then also from a guest perspective, if you go onto our website, guests only know the date and the neighborhood of the show. So it's a lottery system to get in. If you do get in, it's a fixed ticket price, and you don't know the address until 30 days in advance, and you don't know who's performing until you step foot into the space.
Oh, wow. So you actually, this is like a total surprise who you're going to see.
Yeah. So far as I always say I work for a company that puts on secret pop-up music shows all around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. So do they even know what genre they're going to see, or is it's all just completely surprised?
Absolutely not. Yeah. So, the part where we hear it every night, so it's three diverse acts every single time. So you're never going to see two white dudes with a guitar back to back. We range from.
That's hilarious.
I hope I didn't offend anyone by saying that. But we range everywhere from, you know, 9-piece, 6-piece jazz bands to spoken words, to bluegrass, to electronic pop, to anything few and far in between. So every single night you're seeing something, a show that's completely different than one you would have seen like the day before. Because it's always going to be in a different location. So it's going to be three different artists. It's always going to be in a completely new group of people.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So how do you find your artists? How do you find and curate your artist list?
So all of our artists apply on our website. They submit their application, and through our website, we ask for some live links and a recorded link, and we really look at the live link to see what you sound like stripped down. Mm-hmm. Especially at all of our shows, we really ask all of our artists, you know, find a sound that's different than what they're used to playing. So for some artists, it really challenges them. If they're, actually for me, I really love seeing like electronic artists, mm-hmm. go completely acoustic and turn their sound upside down into something that, you know, the audience will never be able to see again. This one show sticks out in particular to me. They were like an indie pop electronic duo. Mm-hmm. It was the first time they've ever played so far, and they ended up playing just acoustic and electric guitars for their set. Usually they have a lot of drum pads, a lot of sound pads. They're like, you know, we're giving this a try. They told the audience this is the first time we've ever done this. But they were up there, and they're very comfortable in the uncomfortable for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, I want to do this all the time. Like, this really challenged us to figure, you know, get out from behind our pads and or get out from behind, you know, what they're normally used to and put on this different sound that's true to themselves still, but, you know, a different way to express their music to a new audience.
Wow, that's so phenomenal. Are any of these shows recorded, or is it just a strictly like just one time?
Yeah, so we have two types of shows, mm-hmm. what we call recorded shows and alumni shows. So for us, recorded shows are only about 10% of all of our shows per city. So for LA, we host about 20 to 22 shows every single month. So that means about 1 to 2 recorded shows for us. Those recorded shows are treated as a different level than our alumni shows. So with recorded shows, all the artists get content from their performance. We have an amazing AV team that puts together this content piece for them. Our YouTube, they also go live on our YouTube channel. Our YouTube channel, I think a lot of people have actually found us through YouTube by just like listening to artists and finding them either from around the world or specific in their own city. So mm-hmm. at a recorded show, the artists are able to have this content, and then at our alumni shows, they get paid the monetary value instead. So we kind of hold our recorded shows up to a little bit of a higher standard these days, just because there's fewer of them now
mm-hmm.
going forward. We have 500,000 subscribers
wow.
on our YouTube channel.
That's brilliant. And how long has so far been around?
We started in 2009.
Okay. So yeah, you guys are getting there. You're really, it's cool because it is sort of one of those like below the radar, very exclusive product. And then now it sounds like it's really starting to gain steam. So that's really exciting. So if somebody wanted to work at So Far, would you suggest that they look at volunteer opportunities first?
Yes, absolutely. For me personally, I love hiring from our ambassador pool, not only LA specifically, but anywhere around the world. Because these people have, you know, put in their time and offered up their time to help throw on these shows. And I think so far in the music industry itself, it's very specific in how we run and how we, you know, put on our events. It's not like any other. So just really understanding how the company works in itself is something I think of utmost importance when you're interviewing for a job at so far, because our business model is a little bit different. You know, our pillars that we stand on are also three very specific ones.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it. And it's certainly, like, to me at least, it sounds sort of the antithesis of a corporate, you know, sort of big nameless faceless company. Like, it sounds very intimate, and like you were saying, like very much like a family, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Do you work crazy hours? Like, what's your schedule like? Are you kind of...
It's a very good question. I do work crazy hours. I feel like my life is one big social scene. Because we're always meeting people. And I usually work, well, so for me, I don't really attend all the shows because with 22 shows, I would be probably in a ditch somewhere if I worked all of them. That's why, with the help of my amazing ambassador team, I am able to live and breathe and do this job all at the same time. But I do also work shows. I know our full-time team also helps out with the show, so it's not the sole responsibility of the ambassadors who volunteer their time. So usually at nights, or I'm working at nights too, but for us, I wake up a little bit later in the day. I wake up around 8:30 or 9 every day, and then usually work a little bit later at the night. So it's a very nice lifestyle. It's very flexible. It's easy to work a little bit remote too, just as we have offices all around the U.S. Everything's also behind the computer too, besides the fact that when we're working our events, obviously we need to be on the ground in L.A. if anything were to arise.
Yeah, but it sounds, you know, I mean, it sounds worth it, even if it is a lot of crazy hours. Like, if you love what you do, you never work a day.
I love what you do, so we're doing. Yeah.
That's so great.
Always great.
Yeah.
And especially as I'm learning right now, the LA community and, you know, how the industry works here, it's definitely great to put faces to names and really just start getting connected into this crazy music industry business here. I think specifically in Chicago, the music industry, not the music industry, the music community is really close-knit. So everyone really knows everyone. So there I felt very ingrained into the community. It's like all of our artists happen to be friends with each other. Like, we had a very big hip-hop community that all knew each other. We had a big spoken word community. We had a big, like, college kind of pop punk community that they, like, all either have played with each other or knew each other, either have met each other through so far or have played on bills together at venues. And I think one thing for me that I love always doing is support our artists at the shows that they're playing in LA, in Chicago, in any other city. It's always really special to see a lineup with just so far alumni, and you're like, wow, every one of these artists have played so far before. And I personally either know them or have seen them, and it's always so great to see them all be on a stage together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was thinking too, one of the I'm sure you know this, but, you know, one of the issues of playing in LA or trying to, you know, play out in LA or build a fan base by playing out in LA, it's like, it's so difficult because it's such a huge, huge sprawling city. And it's such a, you're also dealing with like ground zero of, you know, the pop music industry, Hollywood, et cetera. So it's like, you're literally like any night of the week, you'll be competing with like Beyonce. You know, you'll never know. And it's just really, really difficult to, again, you know, sort of have that local following. But it sounds like so far is actually, I think that's a great model to kind of disrupt that, especially in LA, where you can maybe create like more sort of mini communities within the city.
Yeah. And for us, I think it's all about, you know, one thing that we're always looking for artists is, you know, providing them different opportunities throughout the city. So for us, we're always getting inquiries about either, you know, different ways to partner with certain brands, or in some capacities, if we can't partner with them, we're more than happy to provide artists that we think would be a good fit for them. So mm-hmm. for us, you know, we have a really big alumni network in LA specifically. So as I'm getting to like meet these artists and really understand like who they are, I'm always more than happy to provide anyone with artist suggestions and giving them more opportunities to play throughout the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. What's, if you can reveal, what's coming down the pike for you for so far in the next year?
Yeah, specifically in LA or globally at all?
No, everywhere.
I guess from an LA specific standpoint, so Benjamin, my new coworker, who's about 3 to 4 weeks new now, something that we're focusing on as a team is really working on the diversity of our artists and bringing in a lot of either global acts, mm-hmm. Either, you know, with Cinco de Mayo coming up, I really want an amazing Latin act on our bill. But always in, like, I think specifically for so far LA, we're lacking a lot of hip hop. And coming from Chicago, that is my bread and butter. So I would love to see a little bit more about that here. But I think for LA specifically, like really working on the diversity of artists that we have coming through here in LA, but also thinking about what the next year is looking like for us. But also, you know, with so many artists that are in LA, you know, this is the music mecca of the world, how are we bringing, you know, maybe bigger talent onto our stage? Because mm-hmm. the majority of our artists are up and coming performers, and we absolutely love that, and we want to make sure that we are supporting anyone. You know, we will never not look at anyone who has like 100 followers on their Instagram page or something. You know, if you are talented, you're absolutely talented, and we would love to have you. Mm-hmm. But also making our name known in the LA community here with so many different options and so many different, you know, music choices to choose from. What makes people come back to So Far LA? Is it, you know, for me, it's that community aspect. For me, it's the artist aspect. And we want to make sure that we're always, you know, exemplifying that at our shows. So every single guest that comes through is going to be choosing us or, you know, telling their friends about So Far, because this is a different way to experience music in LA. And as I think, like, there's just so many different options these days. And I think for us, the main way that we've been growing throughout the years is really through word of mouth and grassroots marketing. So we don't have a marketing agency or a PR agency that does any of our social media for us. Every single city is in charge of their own branding, of how they're promoting the shows. And it allows us the creativity to really develop the city into our own, because, you know, what works in LA might not work in Madrid, you know, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. New York for that matter. So I think right. for us internally, kind of just really understanding the music landscape here, you know, how we can really make an impact and also support our artists, something that we're constantly working on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, so basically artists or people that want to work at So Far should go to the website. Is that the best way?
So if you want to perform, it's sofarsounds.com/about/artist.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a space that you want to host, our minimum capacity here in LA is 60 seated guests. So one more thing I forgot to mention at our shows too, everyone sits on the floor. So, you know, we really don't use chairs. We really encourage everyone to get super close and intimate to the artists that are performing. And you can really just hear every single word that they're saying. Mm-hmm. So we don't use chairs. We get everyone nice and cozy on the floor and to get to know all the people around you. So if you have a space that you would love to host in, the summer is coming up. We do a lot of backyards, rooftops. I'm really looking for larger residential homes right now. Mm-hmm. So if you have a space, check us out at www.sofarsounds.com/about/host.
Cool. And then if they want to volunteer or be an ambassador?
If they want to volunteer or be an ambassador, yeah, just go to sofarsounds.com and click around. I will find you that right link. I know it's on here somewhere.
People will figure it out. That's so great. Well, thank you so much, Vicky. It's been an education for me. I mean, my goodness. I think it's so amazing what you guys are doing. And I speak as an artist in LA, and the difficulty it can be sometimes to get shows or play out or, you know, to get new listeners. But this just sounds like a really amazing new platform. So I'm really grateful that you were able to take the time today and that you yourself were able to pursue your passion. So really excited for you.
Thank you. Well, let me know if you want to come to a show too. I would love to add you and a plus one to a guest list so you can finally experience what I've been blabbing about for the last hour.
Okay, cool. Cool. Thank you so much. Big ups to Vicky for a phenomenal interview. Very grateful for her making the time to tell us all about Sofar Sounds. And again, you can go to their website, SofarSounds.com. They're also on Instagram, Sofar Sounds LA. And they're basically all over social media. So be sure to check them out. Sign up for an upcoming secret show and let me know. Maybe we'll all go. We'll make it a big field trip. Again, I am your host, L. Ariel, and we are again at Music Jobs Podcast with an S.com. We're also on all the streaming platforms, and I actually have an EP coming out later this month. I keep forgetting to tell you guys. I'm very excited. I don't know when the hell the drop date is going to be, but it's almost finished. We're just putting the finishing touches on it, and it's a collaboration with producer Sound Control. So very excited. I will keep you guys posted, and you can check out my music and other stuff at lariel music.com. That's lariel music.com. I hope you have a wonderful week, and remember to keep on hustling, pursue that dream, and don't give up.